Welcome to Live Your Full Life Now podcast. So we are on our second teaching of the subject of I need a breakthrough. And some of us need a breakthrough like now or yesterday. And we've been needing a breakthrough for some time and we're just like at the end where we can't do anything else in our own effort. And we really need a breakthrough supernatural power of God. We need to get through this and get over this obstacle, this hump that we're facing. So during this teaching, I want to talk to you guys more about the meaning behind fasting. Like, why do we need to even fast? Why isn't prayer enough? What does that do anyway? Remember, I kind of ended the teaching by saying when we fast, which means when we deny our flesh of the things it desires, and usually food, it's kind of, I think it's sometimes hard to fast from food because we're so used to eating, and you know, eating gives us like strength, energy, and I believe sometimes we can think sharper when we eat, right? And when we don't eat, we feel tired, we feel lethargic, and we kind of don't want to do anything. So we see that as fuel that our body needs. And when somebody tells you to fast, we're like, uh-oh, how is that going to work? You know, I feel much better when I'm eating something versus if I not eat or skip a meal. Well, maybe skipping a meal wouldn't be that hard, but when you have to like not eat for a whole day, and some people do it for a few days, some people even do it for a week and they just drink water instead of food. So what happens when we do that? What happens when we say, okay, I'm going to go for it. You know, I'm going to suffer and go for it. If there's going to be a breakthrough for me, if this is what it takes, I'm willing to subject my body to that. So basically, I talked to you guys about when we fast, we are subjecting our body to our spirit that is from God, right? Remember, there's three parts to us. We have our flesh, our body, then we have our mind, right? The product of our brain, our mind, our thinking, our emotions, our decisions. Then we have our spirit. So if you're born again, if we're a follower of Christ and we surrender our life to him, again, if we believe that God sent his only son to pay the price of sin instead of us, and his son was, you know, captured, tortured, crucified, he was killed, but after 3 days, he was raised from the dead. If we truly believe that, and if we accept that gift of salvation, then we are followers of Christ, right? The Bible says that you're a new creation, which means God dealt with your sin nature, he's done with that, and he gave you a new spirit. He gave you the deposits of the Holy Spirit. So if that's the case, then what happens when we fast? We're bringing our flesh and our mind subject to the Spirit of God, right? Because our mind has to be subject to the authority of the Spirit of God for us to believe it and to live by it, right? To take actions that mirror that, right? I'm going to give you guys a scripture that hopefully makes more sense. Romans 8, 6 through 7 says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." So let me read it one more time. It's talking about our mind, whether it's controlled by our flesh or whether it's controlled, it subjects itself to the Spirit of God and or to the Word of God. So it says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." So in other words, when we continually live by our flesh, what I feel like, what I desire, what makes me feel good, I can't be pleasing God. Because, you know, honestly, a lot of things that God asks us to do are hard to do. It goes against our flesh. For example, I would say forgiveness is hard for a lot of us. When somebody has hurt you, whether it was deliberate or not, it's hard to just let go of that. It's hard to act like it never happened. Yet God asks us to forgive, right? So it looks like we have the ability to forgive, because a lot of times we will say, "I just can't. I just don't have what it takes to forgive." But if God is telling us to forgive, then obviously he's given us what we need to forgive. But that's just one example. You know, being disciplined with our diet, with our exercise, with our time, with our spending, all that, does our body like that, being disciplined? Not really. I mean, our body wants to eat whatever it wants, anytime it wants. It doesn't really get too excited about working out. It doesn't really get excited about being on a budget and not spending whenever we feel like it or whenever we want something. It doesn't really, like I said, wants to forgive when we've been hurt. It gets easily offended and it wants to hold on to that offense, right? Again, the word of God says, let go of the offense, be quick to forgive, right? So that's why when we live by the flesh, it says it's death. So what does it mean it's death? It could be death to our joy, death to our peace, death to our relationship, death to some sort of, death to our health, right? We could be eating or doing the right thing, and we may have bad habits that cause damage to our body and flesh. So it's causing death to that wholeness that we have, you're right, a healthy body that we have. So that's basically what it's saying. But it says the body that is subject to the Spirit of God, that has life and peace. So how is that? You just have to try it for yourself. It's not something that I can tell you and you can take my word for it. This is, like I said, it goes against your flesh. It goes against everything we've been raised with or taught with, unless we were really raised in a very Christian, word of God driven family. And we knew the word since we were very young, which I think a lot of us haven't experienced that. So it kind of goes against everything we've been taught to not live by our flesh, but to live, to submit to the Spirit. So just if you want to read that verse on your own, I think it'll make it more clear to you. Again, that was Romans 8, 6 through 7 that I read for you guys. So again, what happened in the Old Testament when people fasted? Again, well, before I go there, just remember fasting is abstaining from food usually or drink. And not only abstaining from it, but replacing that with our focus on prayer and seeking God's will, right? So we're seeking God at the time that we're feeling hungry or we wanted to eat, but now we're not doing that. We're denying our flesh of food. Again, that's something that you have to decide for yourself. Nobody can tell you how long you should fast for or what you should fast from. That has to be between you and God, and you decide what's good for you and what would work for you. But so what happened in the past or in the Old Testament and New Testament is when they fasted, whether they were prophets or just average people, God granted them supernatural revelation, that he gave them wisdom that they were looking for, that they needed for that breakthrough. And it brought them into a more intimate relationship with Christ, with God, and it opened their eyes to what God wanted them to see. So that's how they got their breakthrough. Sometimes the fasting and prayer gave them more strength to do something that they couldn't do on their own. Sometimes they were seeking God's protection. They were going on a journey and they wanted God's protection, so they fasted and prayed. And sometimes they were just expressing their grief. I saw that when I was looking up fasting in the Old Testament, that sometimes they were, they faced the situation when they were going grieving and at the same time they fasted. I think, and sometimes we need to fast because we've come to a place where we feel our relationship with God is very dull. Like we don't feel anything. Our spiritual life, we kind of feel like it's dead, and we need to rekindle that passion for God, that relationship that at one time we felt for him, the love that we felt his love for us. We felt that he was close with us, and we don't feel that anymore. So sometimes we need to fast for that because that's what's going to, when we fast again, that's the time that we're going to seek God. That's the time that we're going to put our focus on God, right? And sometimes we need to pray and fast because we have a weakness. We're tempted to do something that we're not supposed to. Remember, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane asked the disciples when he was like going through the hard time, he knew he was going to be crucified, and he left them and he said, fast, he said, stay awake and pray so you don't fall into temptation, right? So in that case, praying was enough for them, even though they still fell asleep. But literally, Jesus was telling us, if you know you're going to fall into temptation, pray. But in some cases, praying for some of us is not enough, and we have to fast. Maybe you know you're going to go into a situation and you're going to be tempted to do something you don't want to. If you feel like praying for you is not enough, definitely fast and pray at the same time to have that strength not to fall into temptation. So there was definitely different purposes of fasting as I went over them. So then I think I want to end this teaching here, but I will start going over the stories in the Bible, starting with Jesus himself when he fasted and what he experienced from fasting. So I'm going to end this teaching here. And until then, God be with you and God bless you.